From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Our speaker is the Reverend Armin Tomassian, Senior Minister of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Currently, Pastor Tomassian is bringing a series of studies in Paul's first epistle to the Thessalonians. Before today's message, we invite your attention to a brief devotional thought from Morning by Morning by C.H. Spurgeon. This morning's text comes from Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 9. Get thee up into the high mountain. Our knowledge of Christ is somewhat like climbing one of our Welsh mountains. When you are at the base, you see but little. The mountain itself appears to be but one half as high as it really is. Confined in a little valley, you discover scarcely anything but the rippling brooks as they descend into the stream at the foot of the mountain. Climb the first rising knoll, and the valley lengthens and widens beneath your feet. Go higher, and you see the country for 4 or 5 miles round, and you are delighted with the widening prospect. Mount still, and the scene enlarges, till at last, when you are on the summit and look east, west, north, and south, you see almost all England lying before you. Yonder is a forest in some distant county, perhaps 200 miles away, and here the sea. And there a shining river, and the smoking chimneys of a manufacturing town, or the masts of the ships in a busy port. All these things please and delight you, and you say, I could not have imagined that so much could be seen at this elevation. Now, the Christian life is of the same order. When we first believe in Christ, we see but little of Him. The higher we climb, the more we discover of His beauties. But who has ever gained the summit? Who has known all the heights and depths of the love of Christ which passes knowledge? Paul, when grown old, sitting gray-haired, shivering in a dungeon in Rome, could say with greater emphasis than we can, I know whom I have believed. For each experience had been like the climbing of a hill, each trial had been like ascending another summit, and his death seemed like gaining the top of the mountain, from which he could see the whole of the faithfulness and the love of Him to whom he had committed his soul. Get thee up, dear friend, into the high mountain.
With the strength that we've been given.
2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, we read, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and will forgive their sins, and will heal their land." In these days, when the forces of evil are devastating our land, God's people need to pray. More than that, we must engage in united prayer. Just as the apostles and the early church were of one accord gathering for prayer, the cry for our day must be, "Let us pray." To encourage the Lord's people to this end, Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer a new publication entitled, "The Case for United Prayer." Presented within its pages are excerpts from the works of Jonathan Edwards, Samuel Prime, and Pastor Richard Cross. The centerpiece of the book is Samuel Prime's first-hand account of the famous New York City prayer meetings of 1857, begun by one man, Jeremiah Lanphier. This simple effort was blessed by God until prayer meetings sprang up all over the nation and ushered in a mighty revival that spread across the sea to Great Britain, culminating in the great 1859 revival in Northern Ireland. To obtain your copy of The Case for United Prayer, free of charge, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, "Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's "Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of The Case for United Prayer, and we'll be happy to provide it. Thank you. Continuing this series in 1 Thessalonians, Pastor Tomassian brings the next portion of a message called The Day of the Lord. The text is verses 1 through 5 of chapter 5, in which the apostle addresses the question of how the world will end, especially in regard to the believer and the unsaved. That time will be a time both of mercy and of judgment, of mercy for those who are trusting in Christ, and of judgment for the lost. It is of the utmost importance that a person be ready for that day, for it will come suddenly. People will be carrying on their lives as if nothing would ever change, but then sudden destruction comes. Now to continue this message, the day of the Lord, here is Pastor Armin Tomassian.
Again, peace and safety. Where's Paul getting that? Why is he saying, when they shall say peace and safety? This is Paul basically drawing again, because the verses that we read in Matthew 24, in the middle of when he says that the Lord will come in an hour, you know not, in the middle of all that, we have this, the Lord driving home the point that as in the days of Noah were, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. They're eating and drinking and giving in marriage. In other words, the peace and safety is the eating and drinking and giving in marriage. It's a sense of security. It's peace and safety and tranquility. And so let's eat and drink and marry and give them. Let's go through life and enjoy all the privileges of life and not think about the Lord's return. And this is the mentality of men. This is how they are living. This is how people, perhaps even in this church building, are living right now. With the thought that they continue on in their daily activities, doing what they do, unregenerate, with no thought of the suddenness of Christ's certain return. Peace and safety. Peace and safety. Just live life. That's what they're saying. Just live life. Do what is right in your own eyes. Live according to your own desires. Fulfill your dreams. Prioritize your own heart and feelings. This is the mantra of the day. This was the mantra of Noah's day. There's the man, the preacher of righteousness, going around declaring the word 120 years, and no one listens. And some perhaps old enough to recall, I remember when he started this. Noah's been going on about this for over 100 years now. He's crazy. Don't listen to him. And this is the mentality of today. There's the church still declaring the Lord will return. And the Lord's long suffering is being turned into an argument not to believe. Note what Paul writes. Look at it. If you're here this morning and you're not saved, look at the Bible. Look at the Word of God. I trust you have it in front of you. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them. Then. When everyone is at a point of thinking that everything is fine, there's no possibility that things will change. A sense of security established by the present circumstances. Life has never been as good as it is presently. And there may be the political aspect that will play into this. A period of tremendous peace and prosperity. And everything seems to be good no matter where you look. No matter what way you turn. No matter what nation you look at. There's just prosperity on every hand, peace and safety everywhere you turn. Right when man is at his most exalted state, when he thinks himself to be more than he truly is, then sudden destruction. Then sudden destruction. It will come suddenly. I'm tempted to say that's the most frightening thing about it, but it's not. It's not the fact that it will come suddenly that's most frightening. It's what happens. It's the condition of the heart when it occurs. Beloved, let the sense of suddenness that comes forth from this language shape how we think and live in this world. We'll get to that, certainly next week more so, because the application comes from verse 6 very directly to the Lord's people. But let us just think about it even now. Let us not move away. Let us not lull ourselves into thinking that everything that we can just breeze through into eternity. The Lord will come. He will come suddenly. And that suddenness will bring destruction upon those that are not ready. I can't even begin to imagine what it will be like or what the Lord will permit it to be like for those that are found wanting. I mean, we have some idea. We have the five wise and five foolish virgins. You have them all there slumbering, and then the bridegroom cometh, and there's some without the oil, and they go try to get ready in time, but it's too late. When he comes, it is sudden. It is sudden. There's no stopping it. There's no hindering it. And that's the emphasis as he carries on. And a woman that begins to labor, you're not going to stop that birth. That child is coming. They will not escape. That's his point. There's no getting away from it. There's no running from it. There's no avoiding it. This is going to happen. And again, you say, well, it seems like an awful long time. Well, it felt like an awful long time prior to the Lord's first coming. And centuries pass, and prophets are looking toward the day and speaking of the day and indicating the day and the anticipation of the day and their whole worship pointing to the arrival of the day. All of this is the prospect of it, but how easily it is to slip into a period of thinking, not in my day, not my time, not my generation, not to me. Or to begin to dismiss it altogether. To act as if this will not happen and unfold exactly as the Lord has said. If that is where your mind is this morning, you need to go back. You need to go back and look at Scripture itself. You need to go through the Old Testament. You need to highlight the prophecies. You need to see the significance of that which was prophetically declared coming to pass with such precision that it should frighten anyone who should deny that God will fulfill His word, whatever He has said. It will come to pass as He has said. We may not have it fully clear in our minds as to the particulars, nor did those prior to the Lord's first coming. They didn't have all the particulars precisely correct, and there was much study that was done, but there are things that really you only begin to see after the events unfold, and that will be the case with the Lord's return. Isaiah 53 is a whole lot clearer after the fact. So it will be with the Lord's second coming. They shall not escape. You will not escape. Your family name, your church attendance, your presence on a membership roll, your baptism, your Bible reading, your good works. None of this will do. You need to be children of the light. You need to truly know the Lord. All of this, of course, makes sense. That is, the judgment and mercy of the day of the Lord all makes sense in light of the cross. You may read this and you may wonder, well, why is there such destruction? Why is it so swift and sudden? And why, when there's questions that we may not be able to answer? But in terms of understanding the judgment of God as well as the mercy of the Lord, it is at the cross where we grasp it. The day of the Lord will be both a day of judgment and a day of mercy. But that's what the cross is in itself. It's at the cross we understand this whole sense of judgment being poured out and yet mercy existing in the midst of it. It's there we see that God will not overlook sin. It doesn't matter upon whom it is. There is His only beloved Son made sin for us. And such is the character of God, there cannot be. There's an inflexibility in relation to what can be done. Judgment must be poured out. Sin is on the Son of God. It matters not who it is in this case. Sin is there. Sin must be judged. And so it is. At the same time, we see the mercy because in the midst of it, there is provision for those that believe. for those at rest in Christ. The day of the Lord is a frightening event. The things that will unfold on that occasion are beyond our full comprehension, and we will see both the judgment of God poured out. There will be the great white throne. There will be an absolute, perfect justice, an inflexibility in how the Lord deals with men. And the only hope is to be in Christ. To quote Jeremiah, "How wilt thou do in the swelling of Jordan? How will it be for you?" Every so often there are reminders of just how brief life can be and how sudden it can come to an end. I stood here last week and made reference to my uncle, the unexpected nature of his death. It came far more suddenly than anyone expected. In these ways, God speaks and reminds us all that eternity looms for every one of us. We have to be ready. What a frightening thing to hear hundreds of sermons and not be ready. If I can summarize this suddenness, very simply, Paul teaches in these opening four verses about the Lord's return, but he doesn't time it. He puts an emphasis on theology rather than chronology, and he focuses on doctrine, not dates. It's the truth. It's what we know that matters, and we live in light of that, whether the Lord returns in our time or tarries. There should not be a sense in which we evaluate the time. Okay, so what if we knew the time? Would it change how we live? That's often what deadlines do. It's why we have something called procrastination. Because if it seems far away, if it seems like it's way in the distance, then we're inclined to not prepare ourselves, not be ready. And the Lord, in His purposes, He has hidden the precise timing because He knows the nature of men. He knows the character of men, and it is best to leave it there. And perhaps there are many other reasons unrevealed to us as to why this is hidden from us. But the fact remains, not knowing ought to make us live in light of it daily. And to be very, very concerned when we exhibit a life that looks like we're not ready. When we're living like the world. Peace and safety. Ye brethren are not in darkness. In other words, it's not that you have the light to understand exactly when, but you're in the light. In other words, it won't be as sudden to you. It will be just as sudden, but it won't be as surprising to you. You have been expecting the arrival. It won't come to you then or overtake you as a thief. Again, the whole point here is not to compare the Lord like a thief, but it's the imagery he gives in Matthew 24 to illustrate the sense of the arrival of someone who is not expected. But what we're waiting for, we don't know when. But as we shall see next week, there is a watchfulness that is therefore appointed to us because we know that the Lord is coming. Then we have, thirdly, the separation of it, the separation of the day of the Lord. And there's a couple of things I want us to note here. First, the separation due to spiritual adoption. Look at verse 5. "Ye're all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness." We are all the children of the light, the sons of the light, it could be translated. Indicates our adoption, a spiritual adoption that those in the church, those trusting Christ, no, an adoption, a real adoption into the family of God. Theologian John Murray says of the doctrine of adoption, quote, "We would not dare to conceive of such grace, far less to claim it apart from God's own revelation and assurance. It staggers imagination because of its immense condescension and love." It staggers imagination. Adoption. ye are all the children of light.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there's a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.